like to pray again just before we go into God's word and prepare our hearts to receive his word today. Father, we realize without the Holy Spirit we can do nothing, and I pray for that anointing upon each and every one of us here this morning and on YouTube, that Lord, we'll be able to receive the word of God, that it'll be engrafted into our hearts and renew our minds, and that our lives will be changed. That Lord, may there be revelation and wisdom here today. Lord, this is not just a natural thing, it's the preaching of the word of God. And we just thank you, Lord, as your word goes out, it produces life. And it goes out to produce the life that you send it out to do. So thank you for this time this morning. Lord, may we all be encouraged, but may we all be changed in Jesus' name. Amen. As I've announced, we're continuing the series on Psalm 23. And the title of the message today is, He Makes Me Lie Down in Green Pastures. But I just want to elaborate a bit about being a shepherd. I trained as an accountant, landed up being called by God to come and shepherd God's people. And I want to tell you at times there's a great joy in serving God and loving you. But at times it's difficult, you know, because sheep sometimes don't listen. And they're stubborn at times. But you know, one of the greatest challenges I have as a shepherd in following the Lord is that, yes, we've got to get you born again. We've got to get people born again to come to see Christ. They've got to become new creations and be filled by power by the Holy Spirit. But you know, one of the greatest tasks that I find, I've got to prepare you to die. Now, that's not the death in the natural. It's you to die to your old self. You know, it's the battle that we all face individually, but it's the battle in preaching the Word of God, because sometimes the gospel doesn't come across like that. Paul, when he preaches, says, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I've been crucified with Christ. And Jesus even said, deny self, take up your cross, and follow me. And I want to say that one of the roots of finding a prosperous life in Christ is to die. And I'll ask you today the simple question, have you been to your funeral? Your own funeral. Have you died to self and the old man and the flesh? Because when that actually happens, you can start to enjoy this abundant life and follow the true shepherd, the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, that's what I want to really encourage you. The starting point is then we go on to this abundant life that Jesus has for us and we can follow him. But if you do not die to self and you do not die to the old man, you will not experience this new life that God has for you, this higher life that he has for you. But in that preparation too, I just really just sense, want to encourage you, is that when we die, it says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I want you to have that assurance in your heart that when we die in the natural, we are immediately with the Lord. The Lord is in our hearts. There's none of this thing that we go into purgatory or all those things, wrong doctrines. We're going to be with our Lord immediately. But what I want to just encourage you to is that we have a task to do here on earth, and all of us need to be prepared to fall asleep or even to be taken away in the rapture, as we've been hearing lately. So I want to encourage all of us to finish well. Never stop sowing the love of God. Let the seeds of God continue to grow as you give, because they will continue to eternity. Never stop sowing. But then practically, I want to say to you, every one of you, is your will up to date? Have you got a will? That's very important. Have you got a will that it's written out, that it's signed, and it's witnessed? Please listen to me. I keep on hearing situations that people fall asleep in the Lord. There's no will. They can't find the thing. It's not signed. And then you go through rigmarole, and it's a nonsense. So I wanted to say, prepare for that. Make sure you've got a good trusted executor on that. Make sure your administration is up to date. Are your tax affairs up to date? Are your investments up to date? Are you out of debt? I just really want to just say these COVID times have actually brought us to a place is that debt is a curse. Yes, you can have debt for your home and for your car, but do not continue to go into debt. We've got to get out of debt because the interest burden, and you've got to pay that thing back. The world will get you into a place of being struck by debt and held in bondage with that thing. Let's get out of debt. Yes, I understand you need to buy a home and you need to buy cars and stuff like that. But get out of debt, people. Listen to me in what you're doing. And then can I just say, go before and plan the time for your memorial or your funeral. Put things, write notes. that you're going to leave as a testimony to people, for your children, for your family. Tell your loved ones how much you love them. Put those things down. I just know. And then plan what songs you want to sing. I tell you, do the things well right to the end in this process. I really just sense that in Lord. And if you need to pass on the power of attorney to one of your family members, please do that. I just really sense in the Lord, I don't know who that's for, but I just sense, get your lives in order, that make sure these things are sorted out, because when we fall asleep, we want to finish well and go forward from there. Amen. Hear my heart. We've got to do things right to then, and we've got to do it well. So let's turn our Bibles and let's read Psalm 23 together. Remember, I'm trying to encourage you to memorize this. It's going to take a bit of time, but this portion of Scripture is so rich in revealing Jesus to us. So I read from verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So I've got two main points that I want us to get through today. I want to be talking about green pastures, and then your heart, the land of green pastures, and how do you cultivate that to ensure that you live in green pastures. So green pastures, Jesus says here, or the scripture says, Psalm 23:2 says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Now from a farming perspective, as I've been reading up on this, when it comes to sheep, they say it's impossible to make sheep lie down unless there are these four requirements that are met. They are free from fear, they're not disturbed, they're free from friction from others in the flock, there's no infighting, they're free from the flies and the parasites, and they're free from hunger, not having a need to find food. Then they will lie down. And you see, the shepherd's role is to ensure that the sheep do lie down, because that's when they're going to find rest, they're going to relax, they're going to find contentment, and they're going to flourish. You see, God wants us to flourish. He wants, in the natural, we see sheep need to flourish when they find this, when all these things are met. Now, when it comes to God's people, the same thing. The good shepherd, which is our Lord Jesus Christ, wants to do this for all of us. These things that prevent us from resting in Christ and finding our way in Christ, God wants to eradicate in our lives. He wants to work with us to ensure that these things are taken away from our lives. He wants us, number one, to be free from fear. That's a very big one, because we know the devil will try and bring fear to our lives and anxiety. We do get anxious, but the reality, God does not want us to live in fear. He wants us to live in faith. Now, sheep are very fearful. They are timid. They have very little defense mechanisms, and when they get into a fear state, they bolt. You've seen like a herd, a flock of sheep, when something gets to them, bang, they run all in the one direction and can make stupid mistakes. And sometimes that's like us as we follow Jesus. We can get into a place, we can get fearful, and we can run in the wrong direction, and God doesn't want us to do that. Especially when fear comes, make sure you stop. Don't run, stop. And let God speak to you and guide you and direct you. And there are many times when those things come to you. Do not make hasty decisions. We spoke last week about making decisions. Let's be in a place that we can hear God, we can make decisions by faith, and go forward as He leads us. Jesus is the good shepherd. He always wants to protect us. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, it says again, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Your good shepherd will never leave you nor forsake you. You will go through tough times and there will be tribulations, but He will never leave you nor forsake you. His presence is there all the time for you. And then very important, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, this is a key verse that where Jesus actually speaks to us. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, or sound self-control with a sound mind. And if you take hold of that scripture and you start to apply that to your life, when fear arises, because it's a spirit, it's an evil spirit, I really believe it's an evil spirit that will come to torment you, stand up, resist it. The Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you, but then walk in the power and the love and a sound mind. Your mind is a key area where fear gets a root. Your thought processes, you have to eradicate them. You have to bring them to obedience to Christ. So Jesus wants us to live in a place of faith and not fear. Secondly, he wants us to live in a place of freedom from friction with others. How many of you know that conflict is a reality in life? It is. And in any home, there is conflict. In any church, there is conflict. But we need to be wise in how to resolve it. There's constructive and there's destructive. Jesus was in conflict with his disciples. He was in conflict with his family. Not for the negative, but to bring life. And I want to just say is we need wisdom and we need coping mechanisms how to deal with conflict. And I will say one of the overriding things that we need to work in when conflict comes, work in the opposite spirit. Now, it's easy to say those things when you're tired and things are happening. We don't respond, we react. We've got to learn to respond and hear what the Spirit of God. I want to say one of the greatest techniques of actually dealing with conflict, shut up. Stop it. Don't open your mouth, because we all get into trouble, and including myself. And we're all very defensive, and I'm even defensive at times because we think we're always right. Let's not do that. Let the love of God rise up in our hearts. Romans 5:5 says, this God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. You see, that love overcomes. Our selfish love doesn't. But God's love enables us to do that. And that love, the agape love that's within us, causes us to be peacemakers and seeks to forgive and be forgiven. I want to say one of the greatest tools that God has actually given us to restore relationships is forgiveness. It's incredible what the blood of Jesus does to restore us when there's broken relationships. And you know, can I just say, sorry is not enough. We need to say, please forgive me. Please forgive me. And we so often, we are so independent and our selfishness gets in the way. We don't want to be in that place of working out good relationships through forgiveness. The world doesn't know this. The world holds resentment in their hearts. They reject people. And we're not allowed to operate in that spirit. We've got to walk in a spirit of love, and we've got to be accepting and work it out. And then another key thing in to work out conflict is to walk in praise and thankfulness. Ephesians 5:20, give thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Very, very important. In those circumstances, be thankful. Then thirdly, freedom from sickness and disease. And I know sometimes this can be controversial, but the word is very clear. In 1 Peter 2, verse 24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. And we must contend for healing. It's a very important thing. When sickness and disease, and you will be prone to those things because you live in a fallen world, but we must contend for healing. Jesus, when he went around, he healed everyone that came to him. The scriptures is emphatic about that. He healed everyone. And Jesus is the healer today. All of us are not healers. We might have the gift of healing to work, but we can't switch it on and off. God is still the healer, and we turn to him to heal. If you're in sickness at this time and you're battling with those things, keep persevering and keep trusting God to be the one that is your healer. The ultimate healing is to go home, because then everything is restored. Sometimes there's a path to walk on earth, but I want to say, let's trust the scriptures that by his wounds we have been healed. It says in Romans 8:11, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. The Holy Spirit wants to bring life to your mortal body. So let's continue to trust God when it comes to that. And then when it comes to also these things, when it comes to the sickness and disease, if you watched animals out in the field and that, they get bugged by irritations and insects and flies. And we are the same thing, is that we find that things come and bug us, and we have to deal with this. You can't just let them come in. I remember we went on an outreach to Tanzania, to a place called Kigoma, and we drove all the way there, and we were in the middle of nowhere in Tanzania, and the buckies that we were driving in, because we were driving continually, we used to take turns, and I slept in the back on the mattress. And we were going through this national park in Tanzania, and all of a sudden I felt, jeez, these mozzies are really biting me, eh? they were really, and I thought, no, these things are biting too sore. And eventually I knocked on the window in between. I said, no, let me in the other side. And we realized they weren't mozzies, they were tsetse flies. And gee, they can bite, eh? They really can bite. And unfortunately, that day was incredibly hot. Our aircon was broken, and we all stuck inside. And the tsetse fly is so persistent that it keeps coming in. And we were still doing, I don't know, 60 k's an hour on those sand roads. And they would stick on the window, and they wouldn't go. And when some of them would open up just to get some fresh air, and they'll be in. And they'll come and bug us. And you try and kill them, and you try, and they don't die. They don't die. But what I'm just saying, we had to get rid of them. And we had to get out of the area to stop them bugging us. Now, there are things that are irritating you that the devil will send and the world will send you. You need to get rid of them. That's why it's very key to resist the devil. Don't just think God's going to do those things. That's our responsibility. The evil one will try and do those things. And even there are things in the natural that come against you. Stand against those things. Why did God create a tail on an animal? To knock the flies away. You know, the bugs that come in. Same with us. We need to get rid of those things. And then fourthly, we need to find freedom from hunger. And God's promises are so true. And I'd love to read this portion of Scripture to you just to encourage you in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you'll eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you so anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, of you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall I eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious or worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day, it is its own trouble. I want to tell you, God is the good shepherd, and he will provide for you. For your food, he will never let the righteous go hungry. God will always, always provide for you. Even in those tight times that we find in at the end of the month, God comes through. The miracles start to take place. When there's lack, then the miracles start to take place. He provides in your salary or whatever means, but when maybe there isn't, you start to see God come through in a wonderful way. The next point, he makes me lie down. He doesn't force us, but he finds a place and a space where we can lie down. So what is our role to lie down as sheep? So I want to say, firstly, is that you need to fix your eyes on your master, the good shepherd. Don't look around to those around you. Don't trust in those around you. He wants to put you in that place of peace before him. And then secondly, focus on intimacy and a closer relationship with Christ. That is the place where you can relax and you can lie down and you can be separated from the world. You see, the world is a tangible place, but in Christ is also a tangible place where you can find that intimacy with him and you can find that place of resting in him. And then bathe in his affection and his love of the good shepherd. I want to, may this be a revelation to you today. I say it to you again. Jesus loves you. Do you know that? You know, I wanted to say the other day, it hit me because I've walked with the Lord for many years now. And you know, I realized my strength was, oh no, Lord, I love you. And that was the wrong way around. It's first, he loves me. You need a revelation not of your love for him, but you need a revelation of his love for you. And if you can just bathe in that, Lord, reveal your love to me. I know we're looking for the power, we're looking for the miracles, but ask God to reveal his love to you. And I know in your quiet times, I just know that times when God reveals his presence to me, the tears come. The presence comes of God, and you know that you are whole and you rested. His love that he has for you, that is the most secure place that you can ever be, that you know that he loves you. We go through trials, but we need to know that his love is a reality to you. And then the next big point is in green pastures. It's a place of freedom from fear and hunger. Now, when you look at the at old Israel and we see what was there, it was a semi-desert region, and it was a region where there wasn't a lot of green grass. It's a dry and arid place. And even where most of the sheep countries throughout the world, where most of the sheep are bred, are dry and arid. But it says the scriptures here that he'll bring us into green pastures. What does that mean? That the shepherd is so committed to us that even though we find ourselves in dry and arid places, that he's going to provide a place of green pastures. Now, what does that mean? God is at work for you. You're not at work for him. He's at work for you. He promised to put you in green pastures. What does that mean to do? He's got to provide for you. He's got to prepare the ground for you, the land, and clear the rocks and prepare the soil, put the right seeds in the ground, irrigate with water, and then care for the crops that he can actually feed you. Now, if you go to a sheep farm that actually provides green pastures, you'll see that they would clear the fields. They would put paddocks in. They would plow it up. They would sow it. And that even they might reap the grass and they might bale it. But the reality is green pastures. And why is that so important? Because when the sheep are well fed, they can multiply. And when the ewes give birth to lambs, they need nourishing fodder or food that they can have rich milk to provide for their lambs. Now, God wants us in that place. He doesn't want us to be in a dry and arid place. And I believe, you know, God doesn't want us to live in the desert. We might see it as a desert, but God has provided green pastures for us. That's his blessing to us, that we can eat of him. So, you know, when we look at our natural thing, we look out there and we see the green pastures or the grass out there. We see how wonderful it is. But God has provided for you those green pastures where the sheep can be contented and be relaxed and have a provision from God. You see, in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, it says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. God is producing these green pastures for us. And even when the Israelites went into exile and a place where it didn't seem to be right, God wanted a place where they would flourish. I want you to hear that word, flourish. Jeremiah 29, verse 5 and 7, he said, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce, take wives and have sons and daughters, take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there, do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray for the Lord on its behalf for its welfare, and you will find welfare. In that, I want to just say to you, are you praying for South Africa? We must be praying for our nation, be praying for the people of our nation. If we don't pray, we will get what we do not pray for. And I'm not saying that we must be harping on the negative. Let's pray that God will provide pastures for this nation. You know, from a perspective of the world, we're third world, there's no hope here. But I'm telling you now, if we pray, God answers our prayer and he's providing. And you know, I know the devil's trying to destroy this nation, but we're not going to allow it. We're going to stand in prayer. We're going to stand before God that God will provide for this nation in every single way. We can see a government and we can see wrong policies, but let's trust our God that he will. You know, Jesus lived under Roman occupation, the most cruelest occupiers ever known. They crucified people. The way they treated people was terrible. But Jesus never complained, and yet God provided in those circumstances in an incredible way. See, this promised land that God has given the Israelites, the Lord said, it will be a place of milk and honey. Now, in agricultural terms, to be milk and honey, what does that mean? There needs to be good lands. There needs to be rainfall. There needs to be a place where the animals can eat well, even with the bees to produce the honey. There's got to be good flowers in spring and in summer that there can be productiveness in that time. So God wants a place that we flowing with milk and honey. This is the place of green pastures that God has for you. In John 10:10, Jesus said, I've come that I have life and have it abundantly. This is the place of green pastures that God has for you. So now the next major point is, how do you get your heart to be a land of green pastures, this promised land that God wants you to possess and take hold of? How do you multiply that and how do you go forward? You've got to work together with Christ. Because you see, the lands have to be produced, and that land is not the promised land when they cross the Jordan into the physical. That land that's within you is the cultivation of your heart. It's the place where the seed is sown that can produce this harvest That's where the multiplication comes now. So we've got to work firstly with the Lord to clear the rocks. We've got to get rid of unbelief. Unbelief will destroy the growing of things going forward. So it's easy to get to unbelief. We've got to grow into a place of faith. Then we've got to, secondly, we've got to tear out the roots of bitterness. Life throws some things at us, and we can become rejected, and we can become bitter in life, and it's not fair. But God is good. God is good, and we need to ensure we do not get bitter, because bitterness will rob us of our inheritance that God wants to bring us into. And then thirdly, God wants us to break up the hard and sun-dried, proud heart, because that's when the ground is hard and it's not tender, and we've got to break that up. And God's got to plow your heart. If you find that your heart is no longer tender and is still hard, He's got to come and plow it up, that you get to a place of tenderness. Why? You need a tender heart to sow the seed. You cannot have a hard heart to sow the seed, because it's just going to go on the top and it's going to find no root in that place. God's got to plow the heart. So be open to Him by the Holy Spirit to bring you to a place of surrender, of contriteness, and a place of humility. Your heart is the wellspring of life. You see, and you plow your heart and allow the Holy Spirit to come and prepare you. Now He can bring His precious word, His incorruptible seed, and He can plant His word in you. That's why when you are born again, you're a baby and you grow into maturity. How do you grow into maturity? You grow into maturity through the Word of God. That, as Craig said, the Scriptures are so imperative for all of us, because when we take hold of the Scriptures, which is the Word of God, which is life, and it's sown into your heart, it will produce a harvest. Jesus even declared the parable of the sower. What can, on good soil, what can it produce? 30, 60, even 100-fold. God wants to produce that in your life. So let the Lord sow His word into your heart, into your mind. Romans 12, verse 2, it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by the testing you might discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect." In Colossians 3, 16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Dwell in you richly. And then He comes, and God waters the seed of His word in your heart. And you know, God looks at the natural. In the morning, the morning you'll see the dew on the ground. And in the Highveld here, we get the rain in the afternoon. And God begins to sow His presence. Through His presence is the watering that takes place. That's why we must practice the presence of God in our lives. Very, very important that the dew, that's why it's good to have a devotion early in the morning with the Lord, because it's the dew that falls onto your spirit and your soul and renews you and prepares the seed that is planted in you to grow. And then in the afternoon or the evening, there needs to be a shower to restore. And then during the day, there needs to be the sunshine. That's why you need to follow Him. You need to be under His sun, that He grows you. He grows you. You don't grow yourself. He plants His seed and He grows Himself, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hope this is making sense to you. Then He cares for you, and He cultivates this life in you. He brings you to a place that you are cultivated as He husbands you, and He brings you to a place of richness, and the greenness grows, and there's productivity in your life. God is a God of productivity. And then out of this, because it's an intimate personal relationship, He expects the sheep to hear His voice and obey Him. "My sheep hear My voice, and they know, and I know them, and they follow Me." That's John 10, 27, and John 15, 7. "If you abide in Me, My words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you." This is the seed that's within you. "He makes Me lie down in green pastures." So in conclusion, I say to you, are you allowing the Good Shepherd to bring you into green pastures? Do you allow Him to husband you? Do you allow His energy to be industrious over you, to manage your life, and allow Him to provide for you? Do you surrender totally to Him and allow Him to be the Good Shepherd? We need a revelation that our Good Shepherd, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, will bring you and make you lie down in green pastures. Remember this, memorize this, and apply it to your life. And when you're going through those times where you think it's arid and things are dry and not working out, go back to God, because this is a promise to you now. He will bring you into green pastures. If that's not the case, we need to do some changes and say, Lord, why is that not taking place in my life? Why am I not walking in green pastures? Don't live according to your own understanding. Ask Him by the Holy Spirit, and He will do this in your life. So I challenge you today. Are you truly living as a sheep under the Good Shepherd, not as a goat that's trying to do its own thing? And are you allowing Him to bring you into His green pastures? God, if you are running after your own ways, you're not going to find the green pastures. And you might get into a place of resentment, but God wants you to live in His provision for you. God is a good God. He's a good God. He cannot but do good, and He's a good shepherd. You can rely upon Him, and He will bring you into green pastures. Trust Him, rely on Him, work with Him, and He will reveal the wonder of His provision to you in every way. Can I pray with you? And then I'm going to hand over to Craig. Thank you. Lord, when we come to know You, we don't always know this about You, that You are the Good Shepherd. We don't even know how to trust You. We know that You are the living God, but we don't know how to trust You and allow You to take up Your rightful role. But Lord, us here on YouTube and us this morning here, Father, we want to just say, You are our Good Shepherd. And Lord, where we have wandered and we've done our own thing and we've wanted to find our own pastures, Lord, we repent even today for trying to do that. We want to change and come back to You and in total surrender to You and total humility to You, that Lord, that we will find the pastures, the green pastures that You have prepared for us. Even when we look in the natural, it doesn't look like there's provision, but You have provided for us in every single way. So Lord, as we submit willingly to You, will You take every single one of us to a place that we can lie down in You and find green pastures in You. Lord, You're our hope. You're our life. We trust in no one else but You. Take us, Lord, and lead us into Your full inheritance that You have for us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Craig.